Scripture comes from Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things he promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from the distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say much of such things show that they are looking for country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Sorry, I have a few more technical difficulties to deal with, but good morning to everyone. It's great to see everybody today. Hope you've enjoyed. Good morning to you, sir. Appreciate it. Got one taker here. And the rest of you just sit there because this lesson's for Mike and he and I we'll just keep connecting here. But it's good to be together. Just appreciate the times that we have to come together as a family to worship the Lord and praise him together. Several years ago, I came across an article that, people are writing to their insurance company explaining how certain accidents took place and kind of explaining it so they can get the repairs taken care of. And I just loved it. I've held on to this thing for years. I thought some of the things that were said are pretty insightful. And if you're ever looking for any of these, maybe you could use one of them. But here are some things that people wrote to their insurance companies explaining how car accidents took place. First guy said, "I knocked over a man. He admitted it was his fault as he had been run over before." Some people just make, a habit of that. "The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him." Got to be persistent. "An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my vehicle, and vanished." I think that's probably been reported a few times. "I was unable to stop in time, and my car crashed into the other vehicle. The driver and passengers then left immediately for a vacation with injuries." I think they need a little help with run-on sentences or something. I think there might have been an injury claim on that one. "Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree I don't have." That one I actually understand. That one makes sense to me. And my favorite, with apologies. "I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment." Sorry to all the mother-in-laws here. It's just somebody, she must have been was surprised to see her there or something. Now, the article was entitled, "Can You Top These?" And I kept it for years because when I first read it, the very first thing that I thought of, "Can you top these?" was absolutely. I can top these. You think this is something. You think this is kind of outlandish. You ought to hear what people of faith believe. You ought to hear the kind of things that we think and the kind of things that we talk about. And I thought of like Hebrews 11, this great catalog of the heroes, the heroines of faith, our mothers and fathers, our spiritual ancestors, and the things that they believe. It's amazing. What they were able to accomplish in their trust for the Lord is absolutely amazing. We're amazed by their faith, and I think we find ourselves inspired by their faith as we read their familiar stories in the Old Testament. In Hebrews 11, we kind of have this whole catalog, this hall of fame of faith, and it's inspiring, and it really calls, I think, to us about wanting to be like that, of being men and women of faith today. And so as we start this morning, I'd like to read some very familiar verses to you out of Hebrews 11. We're not going to read the entire chapter, but we're going to read little portions of the chapter that bring to mind the amazing faith of so many men and women of the Old Testament. Starting in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Verse 7. "By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was later to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Verse 29, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And then the climax of it, this compilation that begins in verse 32, that just puts so many stories together. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, endured, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. The faith of our fathers. What amazing faith. It's when you look at the stories that are recounted here, just briefly, just by mention in Hebrews chapter 11, we're reminded what faith really is and what faith really does. Faith, according to Hebrews 11, believes the incredible. Think what these people believe, what our fathers believe. The writer says they believe that the universe was created purely by the command or the word of the living God. Abraham left home, not just failing to ask for directions, but not even knowing where he was going, believing that God would bring him to the place of God's own choosing. And Abraham believed that God could raise his son Isaac up out of the ashes of a sacrifice on an altar when God called upon him to sacrifice him, because Abraham knew that it was through Isaac that the promise was going to come. And he truly believed that if he killed his son, God would raise him back up from those ashes on the altar. Faith believes the incredible. Faith sees the invisible. Noah saw a flood more than 100 years before it came. And we're told of Moses specifically, he saw him who is invisible. These people saw things that weren't. They saw them as if they were by faith. Faith accomplishes the impossible. Barren Sarah at the age of 90 conceives and gives birth to a son. Impossible, it would seem. Israel passes through the Red Sea. Think about that. They believed, and now we believe, that one day the Red Sea just parted, by the way, and the entire nation of Israel, 1 million strong, walked through the waters of the Red Sea. But then when the Egyptians tried to follow them and pursue them, God caused the waters to crash down and destroyed the Egyptian people. They believed that the city of Jericho, the fortified ancient city of Jericho, these strong walls just simply fell to the ground after the Israelites marched around it for 7 days and called upon the name of the Lord. as we read through that whole text, we read about how kingdoms were conquered and how the mouths of lions were shut. We know that story, don't we? How God quenched the fury of flames by the faith of His people. That foreign armies are routed, women receiving back their dead, raised to life again. Faith accomplishes the impossible, and faith endures the unimaginable. Moses was willing to endure the disgrace of Christ in many forms in his life as a leader of Israel. And then in that section that summarizes it, we hear about people who were mocked, people who were the subject of jeers, people who were flogged, people who were thrown in jail. Others are destitute and persecuted. They wandered in the desert and in the mountains wearing nothing but animal skins. They were hiding out in caves and holes in the ground. And then he says there were some that were stoned to death, some that were sawn in two, others who died by the sword. And the writer of Hebrews adds there, the world wasn't worthy of these people, but they lived by faith. They endured the unimaginable. What could account for such lives? Well, we know it's their faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever draws near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. These men and women believe that God existed. They believe that God rewards those, that He keeps His promises. They put their whole lives upon that. They built their lives on this faith. In verse 10, we're told that they're looking for a city that has foundations. They're looking beyond this earth. And Donnie just read a moment ago to us from Hebrews 11, 13 to 16, where the writer of Hebrews says that they weren't home here. This wasn't their homeland. They confessed they were aliens and strangers. They were just traveling through the earth, the life here. They were looking for a heavenly country, a better country. And the text says because of that, because they were longing for something beyond this realm, for the rule of God, God was not ashamed to be called their God because He had created or built a city for them. And what's really amazing to me as I read the stories of these people and reflect on them is what the writer of Hebrews says at the end of this chapter in verses 39 and 40. He says, all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Now these great people, these people of great faith, Abraham, Sarah, Joshua, Rahab, all those that are listed here, they are commended for their faith and through their faith. They live because of their faith. But what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that they never received what had been ultimately promised to the people of God, because they lived before Christ. They lived before the coming of the Messiah. They lived before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They lived before the kingdom of God breaks into this earth through the ministry of Jesus Christ and then the proclamation of the gospel in the book of Acts. And he says they did not receive what was promised since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And this gets our attention because we recognize the connection that we have with these people who've come before us, these spiritual ancestors of ours. They have lived their life faithfully, and now here we are in Christ, in the kingdom, receiving all the promises they only saw from a distance. And the writer of Hebrews is urging us on to faith, saying if we stop short, it's not going to change the relationship that Abraham has with God, but the very life of Abraham is tied up in the coming of the Messiah and the coming of the kingdom through Jesus Christ. And we look back at these men and women of faith and we're amazed by it because they didn't know the whole story. They believed all of these things from a distance. We live in the midst of them. We live on the other side of the cross and we're amazed at their faith. But if you think that's something, let me point you to what you believe. Have you stopped to think about what you believe? What you and I believe? Can you top this, as the article said? Well, it's pretty amazing because you and I believe that everything that exists in all of creation, that everything that can be observed, has been created by an almighty God that we have never seen. And we believe that with all of our hearts. We build our lives on it. We believe that. And we believe that history from day one until the final day of history is not just a, a bunch of random events and, oh, isn't that amazing how that happened, but that rather God is working forward through time and history, allowing us to have our free will, but working nonetheless to bring about His eternal purpose and bringing the Christ and bringing Him back again and bringing everything to completion. We believe that with all of our hearts. We not only believe everything that our forefathers did that we've just mentioned in Hebrews 11, but we believe that about 2,000 years ago, there was a young girl by the name of Mary who conceived a child. Mary was a virgin. Mary was never with a man. But we believe that she conceived a child by the power of the Holy Spirit, who gave that child into her, and that that child that was born is therefore, in fact, the Son of God. Deity on earth. God Himself come to earth. We believe that. We believe that that child born was God Himself who has come in the flesh, and that this Son, who's named Jesus, fed thousands of people with a boy's lunch and did miracles. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He strengthened the legs of those who were lame and healed the lepers. He stopped a funeral procession outside of the little village of Nain because this widow was burying her only son, and moved with compassion, He called that young man back to life and restored him to his mother. We believe that this was the Son of God living among us on the earth, and that one day He stood outside the tomb of a friend of His who'd been buried for 4 days, dead and buried for 4 days, and He called him out of that tomb. And Lazarus came out wrapped up in his grave clothes. We believe that, and we believe that He died on the cross, crucified by the Romans, turned over by His own people. And yet that on the first day of the week He was raised from the dead, because we believe that He has within Himself the power of an indestructible life, and that nothing could keep Him from bursting forth the bonds of death. You and I believe some pretty amazing things. We believe these things to be true. We stake our lives and our souls on them. We build our lives on them. We make decisions based on this faith. And that we believe that His death on the cross, Jesus' death on the cross, and the shedding of His blood is the very means by which we can be forgiven of our sins and brought back into a fellowship with our God and Father, because Christ bears our sins in Himself, in His body on the tree, so that we can be reconciled to God, that our sins are taken out of the way, and we can come to know God, that we by faith have been baptized into that death of Jesus Christ. And we are raised up out of the water, and by faith in the resurrection of Jesus and by God who raised Him from the dead, we believe that we've been raised to a new life. Because we believe we are today spiritually alive, having been spiritually dead because of sin, but now the Spirit of the living God lives within us. We believe these things to be true, and that God is at work within us. And as if that weren't enough, we accomplish and experience so much by faith. For us, God, this God of which we speak, this unseen God, isn't just some mysterious something out there. We believe that the true God, the only God, has revealed Himself to us in His Word, in His creation and in His Son, but in His Word. And that when we read these words, we're reading the very Word of God in the heart and the mind of God, and He is communicating with us. And beyond that, we believe that we communicate with Him. It's one of the most important aspects of our life, that we can talk to God, that we can pray to God, that we can pour out our hearts to God, that He calls upon us to bring everything before His throne. We believe not only that He hears what we say to Him, but we believe that He responds to it, that He acts because of it. And sometimes He may answer in a way that is not particularly what our will may have been, but we know that He answers according to His perfect and His good will. And that's a part of our life that is so important to us. We believe that He's working through our life to build up His kingdom, to make an impact in the lives of people who are lost. Because we believe that when people we know who don't know Jesus yet, like one day when we didn't know Jesus, that when we can share the gospel with them and they can come to know Christ, and come to faith and respond in faith and obedience to the gospel, that their souls are now saved, that they will live forever in the presence of God because of His grace and mercy. that they've come to know through Jesus Christ. So we believe our lives make an impact in this world for eternal good because we interact with people at the most important part, the very soul, the heart of their life, and that God is working through us to build up His kingdom and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone because we believe He's coming back. He's coming back to reconcile everything to the Father, to be glorified among all of the saints before God Himself. He's coming back to bring us into the glory that we will share with the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life, world without end. That impacts us, doesn't it? That changes us because we believe these things. And years ago, I read that article, "Can you top this?" I thought, are you kidding me? Yeah, I can top that. You need to know what we Christians believe. And it's not, of course, fanciful, but we believe it because of the revelation and the Word of God. But we believe that God exists. We believe that He rewards those who seek Him. We are looking for a city with foundations. We are longing for a heavenly country, confessing that we are aliens and strangers here and that this world isn't our home, that we long to be with the Lord. And because of that, God is not ashamed to be called our God. And I don't say that because somehow we're some great thing that God is happy with. Not at all. But God is not ashamed in the sense that we are not ashamed of Him. And we confess Him. And we love Him and put our faith in Him. And therefore, He responds to us as our Heavenly Father and is not ashamed of us. And today, as you think about the faith that you have, the faith you have in God, the faith you have in Christ, celebrate that faith. Take note of that faith and how remarkable it is and what it means to be a person of faith. That's the faith that shapes you, that makes you who you are, that is at the heart of your hope and the purpose of your life. And just to give God thanks, because faith essentially comes from Him, doesn't it? It's not that we're the manufacturers of it. And God has called us into this relationship by faith, and we put our faith and our trust in Him. But we've got to do more than just celebrate our faith. It's got to get beyond the theoretical. It's got to get beyond the realm of the intellectual and just a list of things that we believe. It's got to be lived out. Faith is something that you do. Faith is a way of life. Yes, it's based on certain the agreement to certain things that are true and that are the spiritual realities on which we build our lives, but biblical faith is always active and responsive to what God has done. And it's time and it's always important for us, for our faith to get beyond the realm of the theoretical and the intellectual to the living out. Sometimes we talk about a leap. It's not so much a leap, but maybe a big step of faith to just step out there and say, I'm going to live my life that way. My life is going to reflect what I believe in my heart. My faith is going to shape what I do. And faith acts. Faith acts. In the setting of a church family, faith acts. Faith serves. Faith ministers. Faith gets involved. And there are many in our family that are involved, that are serving, that are giving their all. And some of us maybe, maybe we just haven't put our faith into action yet as much as we could have. I'd like to ask you to consider today, if you're not active in your faith, if you're not serving, and I know there are many, many ways to serve the Lord, but one of them is certainly here within the family and in the context of church and ministry here. If you find yourself on the sidelines, I challenge you today, act on your faith. Faith acts. Faith says, what can I do? Faith says, I want to be involved. Help me to get involved. And if you want to, and you haven't found anything to do here, maybe some of us are at fault who haven't talked to you, haven't invited you. Go up to an elder today and just say, I want to get involved. Would you help me find something that matches my gifts and talents, a place where I can serve the Lord? Because faith acts. Faith does. Faith responds to God. And faith also shares and speaks. Faith shares and tells the story of Jesus Christ. If you're a person of faith, you tell the story that has changed your life. You tell the story of Jesus Christ to everybody that you know because faith can't help but speak. We've been talking a lot the last few weeks about sharing our faith, about not being afraid, about not being ashamed. And we have an opportunity here in the next couple of weeks I don't know, Ken, did you announce Friends Day? I can't remember if it was in the announcements or not. Okay. He was having technical difficulties, so we'll cut him some slack there. But I'm sure you've seen in the bulletin, you had one of these in your bulletin. 2 weeks from today, something we do every once in a while is just to have a special day to say to family and friends, hey, why don't you come to church with me today? Why don't you just come? We want to honor our family and friends. Would you come and worship with us today? Sometimes we just don't know maybe exactly how to invite someone. And this just gives us an opportunity to do that. I want to encourage you to think of people that you can just invite. You don't have, and you know what? Don't worry if they're going to come or not. Because what we do is like, they wouldn't come. Let them decide. Let's just go invite 10 people. Just go see. We don't know who may come. I know over the years, there are folks who are here in this church today. And the very first time they came here was on a Friends Day because somebody invited them to come. Let's take advantage of that. Think of 5 or 10 or 15 people you can invite to come with you on December the 10th, 2 weeks from today. Well, we're kind of going to do our normal thing with the donuts at 9:30 and then a worship service that's going to really hopefully encourage our friends. We're looking forward to that. I'm going to encourage you to invite somebody, to have somebody with you. I've had something happen I have never had happen in my life. John, thank you. I lost the sermon outline. Okay, here's the test. Okay, I'm just going to leave it right there. I'm not going to give him the pleasure of me going back there and picking it up. So we're done. Yeah, let's see now. What was next on that? Yeah. But faith shares the good news. Faith gets involved. And people of faith, it's not ancient days. Well, it was ancient days, but people of faith aren't extinct. It's not like, oh wow, look at those folks. They had a lot of faith. They believed in the Lord. So do we. People today do the same. People through the ages always have. It's not like, oh wow, look at, now I know there's some pretty singular events in the Bible that are remarkable, but everyone lives by faith. I thank God that I work with elders and a preacher who really believe in the power of God and want to see what God can do in the future for Newland Street and don't for a moment believe that God doesn't have plans for us to grow numerically and to grow spiritually and to do a better job of trying to find ways of making an impact in the community. And I know that that's how they feel because that's what they talk about, what we pray about, what we long to do. And think about the things that we can do together as a congregation, the way we can impact a community. You know, the last few months, we've had a couple of activities, our trunk or treat, our backpack sort of thing, just to let people in the neighborhood know we exist. And it met with amazing contact with folks. We need to build on that. We need to be dreaming about things because faith dreams for things in the future. Faith envisions what God would want to do and joins itself with faith into the work of God to make those things happen and to be excited about a future where God is bringing forth fruitfulness and harvest. And I see that in our leaders. I see that so many in our congregation who serve and serve and serve. You serve by faith and you're so committed and God bless you for that. I just want to give a little shout out to our California Bible Adventure teachers. Some of you have been teaching for 4 years. You're getting ready to start the rotation, the whole thing over again. And those adventure guides, you've been working in this for years and years and years. And some of you haven't even taken a break. And I know there have been Sundays, there have been times when you've no doubt been discouraged because there weren't kids in the classroom, but you were there and you were prepared and you were ready and you had gotten ready to bring the word of God. God bless you all. That you want to talk about living by faith. You have been persistent. You have persevered. And I pray that God will continue to bring children into that ministry and into those classrooms to teach those precious ones about the love of God. I think about my friend Dennis Okoth. Talk about living by faith. I shared this story. I don't know if it was at a Thursday night group. It may have been here in the sermon. I'm sorry if it was here. But Dennis is a good friend of mine who moved over to Uganda and he's been working with churches in Uganda. There's some so-called Christians that have come into his house, broken into his house twice, robbed him, held a knife to his throat in the middle of the night, basically wanting him to leave the country and threatening him with his life. When he was telling me the story, I was thinking, Dennis, you need to get your wife Mary and get out of there. But before I could say that, Dennis said, I told them, you can't do anything to me. I'm already dead. I died with Christ when I was baptized into Christ, and you can't do anything to me because I'm already dead in Christ. And there are people of great faith today. There are other people who have such faith that they faced martyrdom, even in our own time. We know that's true. I think of Vision. I think of, you know, we take for granted World Christian Broadcasting and World Bible School. I think of how those ministries that have brought about the salvation of hundreds of thousands of people began with one or two people. There was a garage over here in Torrance for years where Jimmy Lovell used to work out of his garage folding the Action newspaper. And you may or may not have ever heard of Jimmy Lovell and some of those early pioneers of World Bible School, or the folks who, some of them who actually lost their lives looking for a place to set up that first transmitter for World Christian Broadcasting, died in a plane crash. And today the world is, you know, it's a ministry we support. The world is blanketed with the gospel of Christ over shortwave radio. Vision. People still have vision. People still have great faith in God. And that's what these stories of Scripture are meant to stir up within us, to say, that's the kind of life I want to live. And it's not going to look like Abraham or Sarah for me or you. Most likely it's going to be in a very different way. But don't mistake the big spectacle moments in the Scripture as not being connected to with your act of faith and your life of faith today, in whatever way God calls for you to be faithful. I look at people in this church through the years who have endured such being ravaged by illness, facing death, and facing it with faithfulness and perseverance, and people caring for them who continue to hold on to their faith in the Lord, never wavering in their faith. Others who have been among us who have suffered terrible problems and tragedies and the breaking up of families and all kinds of things that have come against us in this world and against our in our lives, and never giving up on God and never putting all of this at the feet of God, but trusting in God to get through those times. We continue to endure unimaginable things at times by faith. We continue to see the things that are invisible. That's what faith does. And you know, there's an image toward the end of this passage, at the beginning of chapter 12. I love the image of the baton, passing the baton on, and thinking about the race. And we all know about relay races and the people who go first. I'd like for you to think about yourself as that last runner in the race, or at least somewhere down the line. And, you know, people run the race ahead, and they've done it all. They've trained, they've run faithfully, they've gotten a lead perhaps, and then the baton is handed to you, the baton is handed to me. And the question is, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to keep going? Am I going to persevere? Am I going to run faithfully? Am I going to get discouraged? Am I going to stop? Am I going to give up? The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, after talking about these great people of faith, talks about the life of a Christian as a race, and he says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set out for us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That great cloud of witnesses of Abraham and Sarah and Rachel and Joshua and all those that have done their part, all those that have completed the race, calling us on, urging us on, telling us to keep going. Those who never received the promises, calling out to us who have received them, who live in the grace of God through Jesus Christ, telling us to keep on running. And here is a church today, as we are amazed at their faith, we commit that we will keep going, that we're going to move forward, because we come from a family of runners. And our family doesn't quit. Our family perseveres. Our family sees the invisible. Our family can accomplish with the help of God the incredible. We believe remarkable things because we have a trust in God. And today, as we think about their faith, may they, by their examples, challenge you and I to step out in our faith, that our faith can be just as obvious to the people around us in our world as their faith was to the people in theirs. Let us be men and women of faith. As the writer of Hebrews says, just before he talks about these great folks, at the very last verse of chapter 10, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. We run. We keep going forward. We keep believing. We keep serving. We keep telling the story. We keep seeing the future. We keep trusting God. And by God's power and grace, He continues to work through us as people. As you and I consider the faith of those who came before us, let us determine we ourselves will be people of faith, faith that acts and that brings glory to God in our lives. And if you've never confessed your faith that Jesus is in fact Himself, the Son of the living God, if you've never trusted in His blood for the forgiveness of your sins, we call you today to come to Him, to confess Him, to repent of any sin in your life, that sin that's keeping you from getting into the race. Put it aside. Let God forgive it by the blood of Jesus Christ. Receive God's Spirit within you to help you live a life of faith, a life of powerful faith in God. And come to Him. If there's anyone in the family today in need of encouragement or strength, come. Let's stand together as we sing.